trailer all down on the floor. Four dogs in the backyard with kicked and screamed in the door. Daddy screams, mama, little boy cringes as he screams. He says, I'll be a prophet, boy, one day you'll be like me. And he thinks, I will take a different road. Where it leads me, I may find out as I grow. I will take a different road. One thing I can see, oh man, you can't kill my dreams. And I ain't born to be no average Joe.
Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. Today's topic is pursuing the life of purity, that we want to be men of God who are pure, pure of heart, pure of mind, pure of thought. I was reading recently a Facebook post of somebody I know who was incredibly thankful for what God was doing in their life. And I don't mean one of those, I'm so blessed to be a part of this, I'm so thankful, you know, those generic Christian Facebook posts. I mean someone who was genuinely celebrating God. They concluded the post with encouraging people who didn't know God or didn't know the same Jesus that they knew to ask them about Jesus. And if you want to know more about Jesus or you want to know about the change he's made in my life, let me tell you, let me share that with you. And I have to be honest, I was incredibly humbled when I read this. And I wondered how often I have had those same thoughts. Maybe in the beginning when I was a new Christian or I was on a spiritual high, you ever went to a church camp or a conference or a revival type setting and you're on such a high and then you feel really, really pumped for Jesus and then you go home or you go back to work or wherever and you go back to the real world and you tend to lose that passion and that zeal. And I think what happens is for just a moment, you are completely removed from all the other distractions. You're on your phone less, you're watching less TV, you have less responsibilities. And for just a moment, all that stuff's removed and you could focus on God and you're connected to the people of God and you're on an incredible high. This person, though, is living this passionate pursuit on a daily basis. And I thought about this and one conviction that came to my mind was my heart and my pursuit of purity. As I sat there and thought about this Facebook post and I thought, why am I not as passionate as this person is about Jesus? Now, I want to say this. Everybody is wired differently. God has given everyone different talents, gifts, abilities, personality types. But why do I not feel that same passion that they have? Because when I read that post, I thought, I want that. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, you have that. What are you doing with it? You see, pursuing the things of God, what I take in, what I read, how I talk, how I think, some of these things can be glassed over in the public sphere, and we can say words that appear to be spiritual, but maybe on the inside we realize we're just barely hanging on. And other times we're on a pursuit, but a website, a TV program, a conversation, a weekend away, whatever derails us, and then suddenly it spirals into areas that we never intended. I am convinced that boys and men need to have many more conversations about purity. Purity is what I believe keeps us from really experiencing God. Now, there's pursuit of holiness. There's pursuit of the Word of God. There's a lot of things we can look at, but I believe one of the areas that we generally overlook when it comes to the male species is the pursuit of purity and what it actually looks like in our lives. You see, without a pursuit of purity, we're only going to destroy our own lives in ways that we are not thinking about. And what we're doing is leaving blessings from God right on the table that could have been ours or our families, but we walk away from them because we choose to pursue garbage and filth and wickedness. On today's podcast, I want to look at five areas where we need to pursue purity. Actually, I'm better at praying for these areas for my own kids than I am at pursuing them for myself on a daily basis. With God's help and leaning into the power of the Holy Spirit, we can pursue a life of purity. All right, man, let's take a look at the Bible and see what God says about purity in our lives. I want you to know, if you are a Pursuit of Manliness podcast listener, this will not be the last time that we talk about purity. Now, I'm not going to do it for 5 weeks in a row, but what I mean is we're going to revisit this content, revisit this idea in different ways and in different formats so that we continue to have this conversation. We need to look at purity the same way we need to look at spiritual disciplines, when we need to look at character traits, spiritual leadership within our home. Purity is something we need to talk about. As I said in the opening, this is a topic that I've wanted to address for quite some time and just really haven't found the right place or the right format. And as I shared with that Facebook post, and really feeling like God had been convicting my heart lately of the areas that I have let just the filter get clogged, that I have been less defensive than I'd like to be. God had really worked on me and said, you have that. You have that same Jesus that this person has, but here's what you're doing. And here's how this is how it's getting messed up. This is how it's getting muddy. If you have things in your life that you like to keep clean, like I'm a hat guy, or maybe my car, or maybe you get brand new shoes, or whatever your thing is, it might be your house, it might be your office, then you know dirt can ruin it. Dirt ruins things that you want to keep clean. Our lives are the same way. As Christians, we're walking around and covered in white, if you will. Our pursuit should be purity. Our pursuit should be cleanliness, right? We want to be something that is light, something that illuminates goodness. And we are filled with a world that is constantly trying to throw dirt at us. Dirt is unavoidable. You're going to come in contact with sin. This is one of the unfortunate things about being in a fallen world. We can pursue a life that seeks constant pursuit of purity, the things of God, over the things that are perverse, wicked, and evil. Just last night, let me give you an example. Just last night, I'm in another room, and I'm having a dialogue with God, and I'm doing whatever, and I was praying to God. I'm thinking about this idea of purity, and I'm thinking about, what do I want to tell men about pursuing a life of purity, and how do we guard our heart? How do we guard our eyes? How do we guard our... And I walk out, and the Olympics are on, and these two figure skaters, I would rather not watch figure skating, but the figure skaters were on, and it was a team effort, and the first thing they said was, there was a... wardrobe malfunction. And so what do I think? Well, then I need to find out what this wardrobe malfunction is, right? And I realized again in that moment how susceptible we are to any form of lack of purity right there. And so what I want to do is I want to take a look at five areas that I pray for my kids every single day, especially if they're in the car with me. I will even pray it out loud for them, but I am quickly learning that I need to pray this for myself. I need to focus on these areas myself. Again, we're not going to belabor these points. I just want to lay out five areas and let you chew on them, let you pray about them. I'd love to hear your feedback on them, areas that you've had victories or areas that you struggle with. Let's start with the first one. So the first area I want to look at is my heart. This is the place where our attitudes, emotions, and feelings are being mass-produced at a rate that we can't even comprehend, for good or for evil. You could store up good things in your heart, or you could store up evil in your heart. It's the place where many of our behaviors come from. I believe it's also the place where somehow, in some way, we begin to justify goodness or we justify evil. You know, I did that because it was the right thing to do, or I did that because it's not that big of a thing. You know, whatever it is, I think it's an area that we can justify sin or goodness in our life. Proverbs 4:23 says this. And before I read it, I want to share this. I remember years ago, sitting down with a man who was leading in another area of ministry, and he came over to where our team was at, and he was meeting with each one of us individually. And, you know, he said, how you doing? And then we were talking, and out of nowhere, he asked me this. He said, how's your heart? And I don't know if I had ever had anyone at that point in my life ask me that question, and I wasn't really sure how to answer it. And what he was trying to get at was, look, you're talking a lot of things about ministry, and you're talking about volunteers, and you're talking about growth, and you're talking about, you know, logistics and all that, but how is your heart? Because if your heart's not in a good place, this whole thing is a facade. This whole thing is a house of cards just waiting to collapse. And he quoted Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. This is the place where habits are formed. And for many people, I believe they think it's a place where it's kind of like a secret place where only they know what's going on. But this could not be further from the truth. Our heart is revealed in more ways than we can ever imagine. I'm a pastor, and I've been in ministry for a while now, and you begin to learn people, and you begin to learn tendencies, and one of the running jokes is, you'll have people that will come visit your church, and they'll be there first week, and they'll say, hey, we'll be back next week, and then you don't ever see them again. It's like you got stood up, right? It was a bad date. They don't want to come back. The same way, as I'm recording this podcast, I've been trying to do some things to my car. fix some basic things that many of you guys could do in 25 minutes or less. I've been 3 trips to the auto store and I can't get it, and actually I have made it worse. And so I'm calling a car person to help me. Sometimes we need to find people that help us do things that we do not know how to do. I don't have that gift. It was never given to me. I don't have the car gift, but I do have the ministry gift on some level. And after a while you begin to understand people, and over time it becomes easier to see what's going on in their life. Some people are really good at giving you, you know, smoke and mirrors and talking about, oh man, I'm doing this and that and that. But before long, you begin to pick up on words and you see their actions and say, does your actions match your words? Do they line up together or are they different? Especially this. I think this is so true, and I say it often, but I believe this. You can see how they interact with their parents in public, kids interacting with their parents, especially when they're younger, and you have a pretty good idea what's going on in their house, good or bad. Good or bad. Luke 6:45 says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Alistair Begg says it this way: if we are going to say the right words, we must first think them. Everything begins in the heart. We should be constantly praying for our heart. We say often we want to fight for the heart of our wife and children. We fight for the heart of people who depend on us. And that's work, man. It's exhausting work sometimes, but it's rewarding. You need to fight for your own heart. The second area is my words. We need to pursue purity with our words. Our words can be like a sword. Man, I have said things to people that I really didn't mean anything beyond what I said, but it caused an emotion or response that I never intended. I've had people follow up with things I've said. And, you know, when you said this, did you mean that? And with all sincerity and innocence, I really didn't understand why they were. Our words are powerful. I've had people say things to me, and on the outside, I didn't respond at all. But on the inside, it was like a NASA command center on how I was going to respond. Was I going to be upset? Was I going to blow it off? What was the future of the relationship going to be like? But what if they didn't mean the words to me the same way I didn't necessarily mean the words to them? Words are dangerous. They're loaded. Unfortunately, many times we'll never know the intent of somebody's words. How many times divisions and bridges have been built and only to collapse because of words? Because someone got upset. Someone said something in a derogatory way. Someone said something that was taken as passive aggressive. Somebody said something that was taken as cynicism or what. How many times does that happen? Words are a dangerous one because we can attempt to sound more educated, more mature, more spiritual, depending on who we're around. You can never lose. Maybe you never use foul language, and then you get around a certain group of people, a certain group of friends, and suddenly you sound like a sailor, right? Or our words reveal. I mean, they reveal. We try to hide our words. We try to mask our words. We try to make sure we say the right words, but our words are incredibly revealing. If we stay around somebody long enough, if you're in a relationship with someone long enough, you begin to understand what their words really mean, because eventually the guard's going to go down. And when the guard goes down, so does the filter on their words. So you're going to know, is this someone who really is careful with their words? Or is this someone who's just, you know, they tried to sell me a line and suddenly they're talking completely different. And I don't mean just about cussing or cursing. I'm talking about how they joke. I'm talking about how they speak around other people. And I'm talking about if at all they speak about spiritual things of God. If someone's claiming to be a super spiritual Christian, and when you're around them, they never speak of ever the things of God, and that should be part of our conversation. It's part of who we are. Not that you have to have a Bible study with someone every time you come in contact with them, but the things of God should be certainly on your lips. And sadly, in my life, I have failed in this area too many times, and the damage done is incredibly regrettable, especially to my children. Especially to my children. If there's a group of people in my life that I could take words back from and erase it from their memory, it would certainly be them. The things I've said out of frustration, the things I've said out of anger. But if you say those things, you need to have someone that can talk you out of that. We had a situation in our house a while back, and my wife came to me and said, "You mean you really can't say whatever I just said?" And so I had to listen to that. She's right. You know, we tell guys a lot of times you can't drive the car in the rearview mirror, right? So we have to move forward, and we have to work diligently on not repeating the past and make a more productive future. We have to want it more. And so our words are incredibly powerful. You can't walk around as a mute. And listen, I'm going to say the opposite of this. When we're talking about pursuing words and having purity, not talking does not equate purity. Okay. And the reason why I say this is because there's a lot of men who choose not to talk to their wife, not to talk to their children. They just like, well, I have nothing to say, or I'm just not good at conversation. That's just as damaging. You have to figure out a way to have conversation with them. You have to figure out a way to engage them in dialogue, but make sure again, the words that we're saying, we're pursuing pure words. We're pursuing words that are uplifting and encouraging. The third area that I must pursue for purity is my ears. We got to pursue purity when it comes to our ears. I pray this for my kids, that I pray God for their ears. And what I mean by that is because words are spoken, and words are spoken and words are heard and we digest them, I pray for my kids' ears. I need to pray for my own ears. I've been around enough people who love to tell you things they've heard about you. I was thinking about that this morning, an individual that I had known, and they had no problem telling me things that other people said about me. So what was my response? Maybe I got upset. Maybe I got upset at the person that kept telling me things about people. You know, when that happens, you have to try to filter that and figure that out. That's a dangerous place to be. And many times you get angry or maybe caught in the moment, and you take those words as truth, or you begin to react without really thinking. If words have power, then how we hear them is going to have power as well. Jesus talked about that. He who has ears, let him hear. Be careful then how you hear. He spoke to that truth. Our ears are a place that is often overlooked when it comes to our pursuit of purity. I listen to a ton of radio all over the world. I love the TuneIn Radio app. I listen to all kinds of genres of music. I listen to all kinds of live radio, sports radio, vinyl, whatever. I notice usually a little bit too late, but I notice that depending on what I'm listening to and what season of life that I'm listening to it in, it begins to affect my emotions. It begins to affect my attitude, and it begins to affect the things that I think about the most. What we take in through our ears is unfiltered and seems to have a really unique place when it comes to landing in our heart. How often do you hear a song that you used to listen to back in the day, and suddenly you can recall every lyric to that song? You can remember where you were at when you heard it. You can remember where you were at when you danced to it, who was with you, what the temperature was, and what kind of shoes you had on. But to try to recall something you read in the Bible yesterday would feel like a decade ago. There is power in what we hear. Romans 10, 17 makes it pretty clear. So faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We need to make sure we are digesting things into our life through our ears that is healthy and is uplifting. Luke 8, 18 says, take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. There is incredible validity to what we're trying to process through our ears. And we grasp that and we filter that. We can say there's a perception of truth in what that person said. However, based on what I know about Jesus, based on what I know about myself, based on what I know about the Word of God, I'm not going to react to that. And that's part of our shaping and forming our biblical worldview. Hearing clearly has an effect on our spiritual life. I've said it often. I do not enjoy Christian radio. I shouldn't say it, but I say it. I struggle with Christian radio. I struggle with the morning shows. It's always kind of the same banter and aw shucks and laughing at weird jokes. And to me, it feels a bit cheesy, and it's marketed to people who are spending most of their day driving around in minivans, getting their kids to practice and dropping off lunches and getting Starbucks at Target. And I don't enjoy it that much. But I'm telling you, there cannot be an excuse to digest garbage into my ears and throw more dirt on my pursuit of purity just because I don't like a genre of Christian radio. There's no excuse. I have to be intentional about the pursuit, and I have to remain on guard. That might mean I listen to Spotify or listen to Pandora, or I listen to, you know, whatever it is. That is not an excuse to filter and fill your mind with crap just because you don't like the morning show, or you don't like the afternoons, or they play the same music, or it's always, listen, I've said all those things. I get it. There are plenty of good Christian bands out there. There's plenty of good music and radio that isn't filled with ideas and suggestions that will stain us and begin to generate emotions that are garbage. The fourth area is through my eyes, through our eyes, what we take into our eyes. Listen, our eyes are just as secretive as our ears. And the natural thing to think about would be when it comes to things that are sexual. Because I believe a lot of guys struggle with that. As I said, I walk out of the other room and it was talking about a wardrobe malfunction. What is the first thing I think of? Well, I must see this wardrobe malfunction. What happened? Oh, this poor dance team. What? How can we fix that? Listen, I'm not on the dance team. I don't need to figure out wardrobe malfunction. What I need to do is turn the channel and do something else. That's what I need to do. There is danger through our eyes. Now, for some of you, you don't struggle when it comes to sexual temptation in that way. But through your eyes, you will sin in different ways. And so through life, through movies, through books, magazines, reading words on a page can be just as tempting or sinful as activity of seeing actual people. What was that joke years ago? People read Playboy because of the stories in there, the articles in there. It's just as perverse as the imagery. It paints a different image into your mind. A glance or look doesn't seem like a big deal, but over time it reveals a heart that is lacking discipline. I've met with people, I've had lunches with people, dialogue with people, and a lady will walk by and you see them glance and you just kind of, you die on the inside a little bit. You die on the, because boy, if they're going to do that with me, if they're going to do that, where else are you doing that at, that you lack that kind of discipline? It takes a disciplined heart, a disciplined mind to say, you know what, I'm not going to look at a woman in that fashion. We are in a constant battle, I believe, between our eyeballs and our brain. Our brain tells us, you know what, just click the link. You're just curious. Like the wardrobe malfunction. Just check out the what happened. Maybe it wasn't what you thought it was. To look to your left. Just look over there real quick. Just look over there real quick. Or to scroll by that channel. Our heart has to hold down the fort and tell the brain we do not live like that. We used to, but we're not going to be that dude anymore. The most famous verse in the Bible when it comes to this, I believe, is Job 31:1. He states, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? Now, I don't think the person just has to be a virgin. But I think the point that Job is trying to make is, I've made a covenant in my eyes that I'm not going to look at a woman in a lustful way, a perverse way, a way that objectifies her, a way that makes her anything less than what she's supposed to be. I'm not going to insult her or insult my own wife or insult my own heart in that fashion. And listen, I know there are men who listen to this podcast. I know there are plenty of men out there who struggle with looking at men in that way. It's the same thing. That's sin, it's evil, and it's wicked. Perversion is perversion. If you're married and your wife is a 6'10" Norwegian, then that's what you're attracted to. 6'10" Norwegians. That's who you married. That's your spouse. That is your bride for life, right? I think a lot of times guys are not as attracted to their wife because they've been online shopping for other ones, and suddenly the one you have doesn't seem like she used to. Shame on you. We need to guard our eyes. We need to guard our eyes in public. We need to guard our eyes online. We need to guard our eyes with Netflix. We need to guard our eyes with, it's not okay just because it's a movie. It's part of the storyline. No, it's what's wrong is wrong. Guard your eyes. They will destroy you if you do not. The fifth area that I need to pray for purity, that I need to seek purity in, and you need to do as well, is our mind. The thoughts we have can somehow generate the power to get the rest of the body to sin. And somehow it's this thought in your brain. Have you ever been on a diet and you ate a French fry and then thought to yourself, well, I blew it today. Might as well ruin the whole day, right? Let's go get a thing of Haagen-Dazs. Let's grab some Butterfingers. And just somehow our mind has this unique power over us. It's like an internal struggle of good versus evil. We need to restrain our minds and think the things of God, not the things of the flesh. Romans 12:2 gives me incredible hope when it comes to this area of purity. It says, do not be conformed to this world. You know the thoughts you're having? It's because of this world, because of flesh, because of advertisements, because you clicked on that link, because you're on social media, because you follow that account, because you, whatever it is, you need to flee from that temptation, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Wait, this is not just some behavior modification. This is not some mumbo jumbo. This is the Word of God telling you that you can be transformed by the renewal of your mind by testing what you may discern, what is the will of God. testing, you may discern what is the will of God. That you can say, that doesn't seem like it's good. That seems like it's evil. That doesn't seem like a wardrobe malfunction you need to pay attention to. That seems like you may need to leave the room. That seems like you may need to turn the channel. Then you discern what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. And you do this by a constant winning the day each day in the battle of your mind. The Word of God tells us that we can be transformed, our heart, our eyes, our ears, and our words by the renewal of our mind and discerning what the will of God is. Does God want you to live in regret? No, that's not God. Does God want you to have immense remorse about sin that you have confessed and repented of years ago? I don't believe that's God doing that. Does God want you to learn from the past and move forward? Yes, that is the will of God. That's what discernment is. You begin to discern and say, wait, that doesn't seem right. That is not in line with God's character. That is not in line with the people of God. Our minds have the power to generate emotions and feelings through the body at record speeds, and suddenly we can be overwhelmed. Have you ever heard the phrase, my mind was racing so fast that? This is why a diligent pursuit each day is imperative. It is retraining your mind that I'm going to pursue a pure life, and things that are pure will suddenly be flagged in ways that they were not before. Pursuing a life of purity. We do it every day, decision by decision. The next decision you make, you will get the opportunity if you're going to pursue a life of purity or not. And you have to be mindful of the areas that you are easily tempted, that you're easily to give in. And I've said this before, you need to protect your relationship with your spouse. When we come to this idea of our mind, we come to this idea of our eyes and purity, you need to protect your relationship with your spouse. You should not share stuff that you invite other people into that puts images into their heads. I have sat in environments where somebody has shared things about them and their wife, and I want you to know it is incredibly uncomfortable and awkward. Don't be that guy. It's not funny. It's not a fraternity. It's not a band of brothers that all needs to know about your sexual exploits with you. Listen, man, I hope you're having sex with your wife. I hope you have a ton of sex with your wife. I could care less. That's on you, man. You do you. You're a Christian or you're a married man. You have the right to do that. You have as much sex as the two of you agree on, right? Don't be that guy, all right? We don't want to know. When you go around just trying to be good enough, and this is why we need to pursue purity. We try to be just good enough or work on different disciplines, or I'm going to set more goals, or I'm going to try whatever. Things that are not pure or could really wreck your relationship with Jesus are just seen as that and not big a deal. I'm just going to do manly things. I'm just going to, you know, pursue manliness, and I'm going to be manliness. And manly. Listen, it's got to be grounded. It's got to be anchored in God. It's got to be anchored in God. God is our creator. He is our sustainer. He is our life. And if he's breathing life into our lungs, our pursuit of being a man of God has to start with just being with God. We just have to continue to refine and work on our relationship with God. That's a huge, huge deal. What does a scam artist want you to believe when they're trying to sell you something? When they're trying to get you to send money or try to get you to click on something, what do they want you to do? They want you to think it's not that big a deal. It's safe. It's okay. And I'm just trying to help you. And I'm just trying to benefit you. Right? That's what they try to do. They prey on weak-minded people. Satan is a scam artist. And when it comes to purity, he's going to downplay it and say, it's not that big of a deal. And as you work on it, he's going to throw different things in your way to try to trip you up. But if we can pursue a life of purity, and there is power in that. There's power in that. Let's be men of purity. Not men who can't get dirty and do things men do. I mean, if you want to look at a woman lustfully, look at your wife. She'd probably appreciate it. If you want to speak words that are uplifting or speak words, do it to people who need it. Look for ways to encourage people. Look for ways to text them. If you're going to use your words, use them in a good way. If you want to listen to things that build you up. Listen to things that add value to your life. I don't think you have to listen to a podcast, 24 hours a day. I don't think you have to do that. Unless it's this one, but I don't know. I don't think you have to do that. I don't think that's sustainable either to do that. Listen, I think you need a break from things. I think you have to have a downtime. I've shared before, that's what sports and family time and that's what those things are for me. It allows me a break from ministry or break from pursuit of manliness. It allows me that. You're going to need that as well. So if you're going to listen to things that are uplifting. It doesn't always have to be Christian music, but what kind of value is it bringing to your ears? Listen to things that build up the people around you. Listen to things that you wouldn't be embarrassed your kids hearing if they got in the car. And if it's inappropriate, you should be embarrassed that they hear it when they're in the car, right? And think about ways that you can just get better, closer to God. God, what are some areas in my life that I'm ripping you off that you need the more time, you need the right time, you need to get the first fruits of my morning, you need to make sure you get this time. What are areas that I need to work on that I become a better Christ follower than just a manly man, right? And so what we see is pursuing a life of purity will help us do three things. These are huge. A life of purity will help us do three things. It will help our worship. We don't have to walk in on Sunday and feel like a fraud that we haven't been worshiping God all week, because we've been doing it through our eyes, our ears, our words, our heart, and our brain. We've been worshiping God with everything we are, so we have a life of worship, not just on the weekend, but throughout every day of the week, that my life is truly a life of worship, that I can walk away from that, I can defollow that, I can unfollow that account, whatever, because I am living a life of worship, and that's what worship is, that my life is in a constant pursuit of being a better Jesus follower because of what he's done in my life. The second thing is it will clarify and bring purity to your prayers. Your prayer life will be different when you pursue a life of purity. Listen, you're going to repent of sin every day. But don't you get tired of repenting of the same sin? Man, I do. Let's pray for new things. Let's have the Holy Spirit really work on us. Let's change our prayer life. That it's not just about us, not about me taking it, but it is really powerful, God-honoring prayers that someone would say, that person, what's different about that guy? Well, I think he just got done praying. There's power in that. And the third thing is this, it will help us be in tune with the Holy Spirit. You, me, make dumb decisions a lot of times and do dumb things and get ourselves in really uncomfortable situations because we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit. We are missing Holy Spirit moments. Three things pursuing a life of purity will bring to us. Our worship will be more meaningful. Our prayer life will be more intentional. And we will be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I believe one of the manliest things we can do is be in a pursuit of purity. And many of you are vigorously pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's not wreck it by being careless with some incredible, important areas of our life. If you are not pursuing Jesus, let me encourage you to start. He is life. He is salvation. If you've never read the Bible, why not try the Gospel of John? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in the New Testament. It's the fourth gospel. Read the book of John. Read it several times through. John will give you a really good snapshot of who Jesus is. And that's what we want to do with Pursuit of Manliness. We want to change your perspective of who Jesus is, but also what a Christian man looks like. One of the best ways we can do that is pursuing a life of purity. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for looking at those five areas. And man, I want to encourage you, man, to click subscribe to this podcast and not to miss any dialogue we're having. We truly want to vigorously equip men to pursue biblical manliness. And we're thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for the reviews that you leave on iTunes. I'm thankful for the comments and the emails and the direct messages and all that. I'm thankful for all that stuff, man. And we want to build better men together. And I want to throw this out there. One other area that I'd love to encourage you to be a part of is our closed Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/pursuitofmanliness. We have just shy of 2,000 guys in there and just 2,000 really good dudes who are all over the world, growing together, sharing together, asking questions, seeking some help. It's a safe place. It's a closed place. But again, if you're a man, And you want to maybe get a better understanding of what biblical manliness is or what the Bible is or what Jesus is, man, we'd love to have you be a part of it. And you don't just have to be a Christian man. We'd love for you to be a part of it. Check it out. And man, let us know what you think. So guys, thank you for listening and keep pursuing manliness. What thing you will see is that you're loved by this King and you ain't born to be no average Joe.